All right. Praise team, thank you so much for leading in worship. I think those three songs were just about perfect for what we're about to hear. It has been my great privilege to have known Danny and Dinah Wade for a very long time. And their children, Sarah and Ben, they were attending the church back in the 90s, back when the earth was still cooling. So, wonderful friends. While they were here, Danny at one point was an elder. Danny and Dinah were both very involved with small groups and with lots and lots of life-changing relationships. You guys were and continue to be really dear to me and to so many here. At a certain point, they decided to leave San Antonio to go to Colorado to receive training with Larry Crabb in counseling, came back and resettled in the Burney area, and for the last 20-plus years have had a wonderful, deeply impactful ministry of counseling. Their ministry has touched lots and lots of people in the Burney and San Antonio area, many of us here at Northwest, and I just want you guys to know, and you to know, that your transparency and your honesty, your genuineness and your wisdom have always deeply encouraged me. So, looking forward to hearing what you have to say today. Danny and Dinah Wade, welcome back to Northwest. So,
thank you guys so much. When you start putting dates behind it, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
I think I had hair when we came here. I'm not sure. But thank you again for having us. Oh my goodness, seeing some of your faces, it's a sweet thing. We just loved what Dave and Jeff have said about emotions. We don't hold ourselves up as experts. We in fact, in some ways, we just say we want to come and share a few things maybe that we kind of want to share from our 25 years of private practice. But we've learned from you guys as well, so thank you.
Well, I want to start out with a story of emotional outbursts of mine at Northwest Community Church. That's why I'm so qualified to speak to you guys. It was long ago when we were in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I was speaking with one of the elders' wives, I think, and I stomped my foot while I was talking to her. And her husband was watching from afar, and he came up to me and said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "I don't know. I didn't even notice that I had done it." And so he and his wife began to pursue me. And I was someone who was not wanting my emotions to come out and not wanting to be transparent at that time. And so I started to run from them. The husband would come around the corner and I would go the other way. And, you know, that went about 6 months. But God used that moment and some other moments in my life to say, "Hey, tap, 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 tap. Something's going on inside of you. Something needs attention. Something's in the way between me and you and other people and this dear man and myself. Can you stop and pay attention to that?" And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's been happening since that moment.
Sure, I'm getting any advancing. Ah, there it goes.
So much fun to push the buttons. If they work.
We'll get it. So just in terms of kind of an outline, we'd like to talk about just a little bit of understanding our emotions and then redeeming our emotions, which is the title of what we're talking about today. Are we on? Yay! Redeeming emotions. And if we just put them in a little bit of context, obviously we're all humans. We have emotions. There are some counseling theories in our world that just focus on emotions. They say that emotions are the way to go. And we think they're so important, but they're not everything. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. There's some common gender differences, aren't there, about emotions? I kind of have to apologize to you wives, I think, to say. Sometimes we go, "You are so emotional," to you wives, And I'm sure sometimes you wonder if my husband has emotions. And I assure you we do. It's just that sometimes we have a hard time accessing them. And so we're going to talk about that. In order to know what we're feeling, though, we kind of need to be in the here and now. You've heard that phrase. It's a phrase we use for quite a bit. And I think that's kind of rare for us, any of us, to truly be present in the here and now. But the more we can do that, the more we can identify our emotions. I love the title that Jeff and Dave came up with for this Unbottled. It has the implication that we don't stuff them. We don't spew them all over everybody. But we regulate them for the purpose of love. And I love the quote by neuroscientist Kurt Thompson that says, if you don't regulate your emotions will regulate you. And we also use the phrase, we're going to talk about story work a little bit more tonight and later. If you don't own your story will own you. So I want to read just a quick quote from one of my favorite authors, Eugene Peterson, who said this. Do we ever get used to mysteries? I want us to hang on to that word, mysteries. We want to know how it works so we can do it too, so we're able to take charge of things ourselves. Uh-huh. God knows that if we knew what he knows, we would quickly depersonalize what we know into information or figure out a shortcut that bypasses intimacy. And, man, can you imagine something like God gave us these things called emotions that if they bypass intimacy and we don't hold on to this term mystery, none of us have a handle on this thing. We're in trouble. We're in trouble in terms of love.
So as part of understanding emotions, I started asking some friends and family, what do you think about emotions? What should we say about emotions to help people understand them? And one of our kids said, make sure that you tell them to be comfortable in their emotions, because I can't be, and I'm really trying to learn to be comfortable with other people's anger, fear, just sit in it with them, and my own emotions in order to do something more productive with them. One of our kids said, listen to the body, because the body is the dashboard on the car that lights up and tells you something's going on. Anger, you know, you got fire in the belly, everything kind of tenses up. And then shame, you know, your face flushes and your shoulders droop. Fear, we all know that feeling. It's so light and fluttery in the heart and the hands and the lungs, you know. And sadness is just deep heaviness on the chest, and often the throat is just shut tight, and you have a lump in your throat. So she said, listen to the body. One said, feelings are not facts, but you better find out why you're having them. And one said, it's the entry to the heart. It's not the most important thing, but if we will mine our emotions and get beneath them to the thoughts and the beliefs and motives behind them, we will find ourselves and be more unencumbered to love and be loved. So that's a little bit of understanding emotions. You know, we could talk, all of you guys could talk about emotions, mm-hmm. and we could talk a lot about it, but I wonder what you think about emotions. I wonder what you would say if you had the microphone. What do you think right now about emotions? It's something to think about, something to ponder, something to talk with your spouse about, or your neighbor, or something like that, maybe. So as we go forward, we want to try to talk about redeeming emotions. And we think that there's a lot of ways to talk about it, but a simple way to talk about it is, are we going toward God, others, and ourselves with our emotions? Are we going away from God, away from others, and away from ourselves? You know, we had a Bible teacher long ago that said, if you want to know something, go back to the beginning. So I just want to read a few verses from Genesis. It's so tried and true. We know it all so well. But maybe Adam and Eve are an example about what not to do. I think sometimes that's the best way to learn, is to know what not to do. And when they were created, in Genesis 2:25, God says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. There's an emotion right there at the beginning. And being not ashamed has a lot of implications to it. rest and serenity and peace and connection. But as we know, the tables turned in just a few moments. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and their eyes were opened, verse 7 of chapter 3 says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves, took a long time, together, and made loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So, I don't know about you, but I like to hide. I like to try to keep it together and bottle up my emotions, and then they might come out in a stomp. So that's not the way to go. We want to try to go toward vulnerability, humility, honesty, and openness with emotional health so that we can love and be loved.
So the way we started thinking about this was we thought, what if there were four streams? Dinah was talking about moving toward God or away from God. She also added others and self. That's something that's kind of an important part of that. We can move away from ourself. And so if there's four streams, just starting with negative emotions, we're going to talk about a couple of streams, constructive and destructive. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but negative emotions have a destructive scheme for sure, right? But they also have a constructive stream. And that one is generally, we don't want to hurt. I had a headache yesterday, so I took Tylenol. I don't want to hurt. The same thing is true emotionally. It's probably way more true emotionally. We don't want to hurt. And so we have all this self-protection built up. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and oh my goodness, they were driving down I-10 kind of aggressively, and they looked over, and the car next to them had a barrel pointed right at him. And he said, "Danny, I believe that was a .45 caliber." And obviously, if we don't regulate those negative emotions, and we have the destructive pattern, man, bad things can happen like that. But it also can be more subtle kinds of things within marriage, of just of this word contempt. Contempt can come out just so subtly, right, in our marriages. And for you that are not married, I'm sorry. We kind of think about it in these terms. But that's it can be so subtle among friends. It can be so subtle with our children, our grandchildren, which we know experienced recently. And if we do that with each other, with our spouse, we're going to miss out on something really special, and we're going to push them back and push them into the corner for their negative emotions. So a constructive path for negative emotions. I want to read a quote. When we showed up to Colorado, Dave mentioned that we moved to Colorado. We have to read it to our little family. And there was a guy, one of our professors, stood up and said this. I think there were 80 in our class. I think there were 80 mouths that hung open. "Almost all non-organic emotional disorders begin with a refusal to sorrow." Almost all non-organic, obviously there's a lot of organic mental disorders, bipolar, schizophrenia, some things like that. But most of the time people come to see us for things, it's non-organic disorders. We have non-organic disorders that we're working on. And so I'd like you just to kind of be thinking about that as we're talking about these categories of sorrow. Sorrow, we believe, is an extremely important concept. We're going to talk a little bit more tonight about that. I'd like to look at a verse. We're going to look at positive emotions in just a moment. But I'd like you to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to turn there, or you can just look at it on the screen. "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." Two big distinctions, right? Godly sorrow is what Donna and I call the first one. Worldly sorrow, which I've got to think is depression and a lot of other things that cause us to isolate and move away from people. But there is a sorrow that is according to the will of God that produces a repentance. Those are very, very important words, we believe. There can be, obviously, constructive forms of anger. I'll never forget it, sitting in a group one time, and this guy was sharing, when he was a little boy, his stepfather just beat him brutally. And this other man in the group he asked the other man in the group, "What's wrong with you, bud?" And he just said, "I'm just mad. I'm mad at your stepdad." And those kinds of things, y'all, when we're sharing our stories, can be contagious. This guy that was sharing the story then was able to say, "Oh, me too. I guess I'm mad at him." And I don't want him to stay mad, but I think he needs to go there in order to go to an important place of using constructive anger. Constructive sadness. We've heard so many stories over the years of heartache and abuse, and I don't know. We just often tear up, and sometimes if someone's not very connected to what they just shared, they go, "Don't think of me as a victim," and we go, "Oh, you are a victim in some ways. We don't want you to stay stuck there," but that sorrow is important to enter. Some of you are going to roll your eyes a little bit right now, but we're going to do a little exercise. Would you just humor me for a moment? If you're sitting, I'd love you to get comfortable and have your feet flat on the floor. And you're welcome to close your eyes. You're welcome to keep them open, whichever you prefer. I'd like you to take a deep breath with me. And as we do this, I'm going to read something that would be a form of constructive of loneliness in this case. It's called Inconsolable Homesickness. And just see if you can let the words roll over your mind, roll into your mind. "Let me steward well, Lord Christ, this gift of homesickness, this grieving for a childhood gone, this ache for distant family, lost fellowship, past laughter, shared lives in the sense that I was somewhere I belonged. It is a good, good thing to have a home. The shape of that ache for another time and place is the imprint of eternity within our souls. So let those sorrows do their work in me, O God. Let them stir such yearnings as would fix my journey toward the place for which I've always pined." Were you able to feel something that you might consider as you go home? I wonder if that was a form of maybe just a little inkling of godly sorrow that this verse is talking about.
Positive emotions seem easier to talk about because those obviously are connecting. You know, somebody's graduating from college, somebody has a baby, somebody has a birthday, lots of good cake, you know. It's fun to go and connect and share and interact with happiness and joy and excitement and contentment and glee. Those are emotions that are naturally connecting. But I do think that there, which is a constructive way of handling them, which is entering into them and owning them. But it's very interesting, I think, that we have trouble doing that with something that feels really good. And it's funny because it could be in the smallest of ways, like a compliment. You know, "Danny, I like your shirt." And he could say, "Oh, thank you. You know, it's my favorite. I got it here over here. Look at all the colors." I don't know. He wouldn't do that. But, you know, that kind of thing. Or I can say, "Oh, well, you know, I got it at Goodwill. And, you know, it's got a hole in it under here." And, you know, that kind of thing. And it's disconnecting. But I think we're really afraid. I am, and am working at it, of being more open and vulnerable, even with my really positive emotions. I remember the first time I went to Seattle in the early 90s for a conference, Danny did not go, and I went out to Pike's Place. Is that what it is, Jonathan? Pike Market. And I looked out at that market, and it on the bay, and the clouds were rolling by, and the fog was lifting from the water, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I've got to call Danny." So I called him and said, "You've got to come here one day." And little did we know, our son and his wife were going to move there. But I had to have someone there with me in that moment because it was glory and it was awe and it was wonder. And if we will connect to each other, to our hearts, to God in gratitude, we miss out on a lot of gratitude with God because I can be harumphing around and not aware of all the beauty and the goodness of Him around me. And if I'm not connecting to that, I'm not open to the Spirit and others and myself and what God might have for me. So that's just a little bit about constructively and destructively with positive emotions. It's kind of very similar as far as just being open and come out of the bushes and talk about it and be there with people. And therefore, that kind of takes us to the next point. Well, okay, if we're trying to understand emotions and there's a way to redeem them, do you really have anything to say up there? We've heard all this, guys. You may be thinking. And so what I want to say is, how bad do you want emotional health, if you want to call it that? Do you want something different? Are you tired of your destructive path? And don't worry if you're not, because as Danny said and kind of indicated, I think pain in our lives kind of bring us to the brink of wanting to do something different. I think that's what happened with me. I remember when we were here at Northwest, I was really going through some, looking at my story, my life story, and what's going on, why am I stomping around, so I had a lot of anger thinking back at my childhood, and I remember saying to the kids, time for lunch, kids, come on, you know, like that, trying to hide the anger, and our little four-year-old Benjamin came up and looked at me and said, Mom, why are you talking in a fakey voice? And I went, oh, this is another stomping moment. You know, this is another wake-up moment. Because if we don't handle our emotions well, it affects people. And that doesn't help children. This is not to be condemning toward parents, because we're all going to make mistakes. By the way, they say if you just make it about 40 to 50% right, you're doing good as a parent. So I want to give you that.
Like baseball players.
That's right. Go Spurs. But anyway, it affects people. The way we handle our emotions, it's obvious if we let them blow up at people that it affects them. But even the subtleties of hiding them in, holding them in, it may not even be that subtle. But trying to hold them in, it affects people. So we're just going to give you a couple of hints, which you could probably do this and tell us this as well. But if with your own emotions, what we want to encourage you to do is to feel them. And that's why we had that exercise that Danny led you through. That's why we just kind of talked about where some of the emotions land in your body. Learn to stop and feel them. When you're driving down the road, why am I so mad at all these drivers? What is going on? Like, I know this one gentleman yelled at his wife when he couldn't find her in the yard. They were doing yard work, and he lost it. I mean, he just went crazy. And his wife was so gentle and said, I think you need to take some time and think about that, because that was a little bit of an overreaction. I think I'm going to go trim the azaleas and get away from you. And so she goes over there. And he did think about it. And he came back. He explored. He felt it. And she felt it. So listen to your spouse, because they know what's happening. But feel it, express it, and state it to someone, to God, to yourself. Why am I so angry? To someone that wants to be on the journey with you. Talk about it. And he came back and he said, oh my goodness, I did not realize that my greatest fear is losing you, because I lost my dad when I was 3 or 5. And so the panic came out. So knowing that can soften his heart and actually connect more to his wife instead of live in fear of losing her by talking about it. I talked to my brother a few years ago, and it was a very upsetting conversation. And I just was hating the conversation. So we hung up, and, you know, this is funny. You'll laugh now but when I say this. I said, oh, look at this. I think I've matured. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty steady. Isn't that great? So, but see, I'm not thinking about my pattern, that I hide things for myself. And so I walked off toward the laundry room which is what I do often to avoid my emotions, is just get to work. And I started feeling it. I started feeling the anger and my clenched jaw and my tight shoulders and that catch in my throat. And I said, oh, my goodness, I guess I've got to go repent and get into my godly sorrow. Oh, it's a hard journey. It's not easy. And so I went back to my chair and I reflected and I cried like a baby. Then I talked to my man. But it's important. It's important because if I don't do that, my relationship with my brother is going to have a wall with him. I'm going to have, it's going to cause trouble. It's going to get in the way and impede love and receiving and the flow of love. So with others, a little handy dandy thing is to have empathy, to care, and be curious. And empathy is, me too. You just say to the other person, or you just feel it inside your own self, me too. I know what it's like to stomp my foot. I may not stomp my foot, but I might throw a book. Anyway, I'm not advocating either of those. But we can say, me too, I get it. Sympathy is, oh, poor you, from a above posture, and that's not very helpful. But me too, I get it, I'm with you, and I care. I care about where you are. I'm not going to judge you for throwing the book or stomping your foot. Even though I want to, but I'm not going to, and I'm going to be curious instead of try to fix you. I'm going to just ask questions. Did you ever stomp your foot before? What was that feeling? Were you trying to, you didn't feel heard? I don't know. Just try to ask questions that open people up, not yes and no questions. An example of that is our family got together a few years ago at a lake house to try to have some fun together. And this dear man started a tradition in our family where we ask questions like, what in the government would you want to change institutionally? What relative who's no longer alive really impacted you? And then one night the question was asked, do you have trouble telling the truth? And another family member and I said, yes, we do. And, you know, that's kind of not a really nice thing to not be able to enter into the truth because people may not trust you. People may not believe in you. People may not feel like they can rely on you. But they put all that aside, and they started asking me questions, and the other family member. And so as it went on, I just started getting closer and closer and closer to the truth of why that was. And it was very uncomfortable and very dear because our daughter, Sarah, said, Mom, I know your story. And you have been abandoned when you told the truth. But we're not ever going to leave you, so you can tell us anything. So it's important to be able to sit with people because I'm a little more truthful than I used to be. And am a little more open to exploring my emotions. And it makes me a little more open to you and to the good God who has tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want more of you. Come, let's explore this together.
I love hearing my wife teach.
Thank you.
And live her story. Live out her story. Some of you lived through some of this with us. And it's just been a while since I've heard you talk about that. Mm.
Thank you all for you, the ones that walked with us in that. Yes. Please.
My name is Ed. We just had a family gathering this weekend, but I'm all alone. My family's everywhere else, but very hurt. My wife's at another group meeting. My son in Hawaii just got promoted. His brother went over there. We came over from Hawaii. My daughter came from Carolina. My daughter came from Houston. I have a daughter here who has cancer. Posted that. My son gave me a medal. Years ago, I was traveling. This is the Space Force. He is just retiring after 24 years in the Space Force. His younger brother is now his commander. Tori has outranked Paul. He's retired. He is going on as a lieutenant colonel, and Paul is retiring as a hardened major colonel. He has handed millions of dollars for the government and done very many outstanding things. He's traveled the world. He arranged for satellites. He arranged for selling jets to Singapore and things like that. He's been through different relationships. But he gave me a little medal. Years ago when I was traveling, I realized we needed to do several things. I needed to arrange for the meeting. I needed to arrange for a hotel and different accommodation. I had to arrange for a car and so forth like that. So the phrase came to mind that I think comes into play right here. There is a homily for harmony. Homily means it sounds like I see the sea. But life and love is a combination of accommodations to create a common nation. If we want to be a united family, a united nation, we need to accommodate one another. My oldest daughter arranged for accommodations at the venue where my daughter is, at the Tower of Americans. We had dinner there last night, and at Hard Rock Cafe, weather there. I got to see some grandchildren, some great-grandchildren. It was a beautiful time. And my son, who has now categorized the Bible as fables, but he turned to me and he says, "Dad, would you say a prayer?" My prayer is that we will all share the banquet table. But I'm seeing that the challenges that we have in our life are because of feelings. I did a paper in graduate class on emotions. Every emotion has two sides, a positive side and a negative side.
And so good.
We choose the positive and the negative, like you say.
Yes.
It's a really important decision how we deal with that. One other phrase is inspirational discontent. When you're discontent with something, let it inspire you to make it right, to flip the coin over. So pray for me. Special time. And I've heard.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ed.
For those of you that are watching via Facebook or something, I wish you could have heard that. That was beautiful. Maybe there's a way you could speak to... Your name is Ed. Thank you, Ed, for having the courage to share that. Well, Donna just talked about a redeemed path for this this thing about emotions. There's this, hinted at it earlier, there's also this self-protective path. And it's messy. Donna talked earlier about the fall of man, Adam and Eve, and when they hid in the bushes, there was a false self that was created, right? I had a couple in my office not too long ago, and the husband had not done a great job with her birthday, and she was talking about what had happened, and she said, "You know, I think it just was a fake me. I can be so childish sometimes about these things." And yet, you know, she had a point. And yet I thought the guy did a pretty good job, you know, of celebrating her birthday. But I loved her term, "this a fake me." So therefore, by virtue of saying there's a fake me, she was basically saying there's a better me. There's a true me, a true self. I love Brennan Manning's reflections on false self and true self. If you want to take a look at some of his work. But guys, in order to do this kind of thing that Donna and I are inviting you to do, it takes a dependence on God. It takes a community. So I kind of want to make a plug for small groups, intimate small groups, where you can really share your heart, your emotions. We're going to talk a little bit more tonight if you want to join us and talk about story work and a little bit about what kind of your emotions are particularly affected by your story. But remember that term mystery. And Dinah's got a couple of words to close.
Yes. I just give a hearty approval to that, because Jesus is truly the answer, and he is the way in this whole journey of looking through one's past and looking at the present, one's emotional health, and how all that fits together to go forward with him. I just want to go back to the beginning again, as I did in Scripture, but in the talk today about the stomping of the foot, guess what? I did something very similar recently. How does that make y'all feel? Does that make you feel discouraged? Yeah. It is really hopeful. It really is hopeful because, well, for a couple of reasons. One is that we don't have to feel under this pressure cooker that we're supposed to get it right and never have anger again, because as we've learned, anger can be constructive. But it's not about performance. It's not about trying hard and getting it right. It's about a relationship with the Lord, Jesus Christ, each other, and ourselves. And those are messy. And He will not perfect us until we get home. The truth is, I have seen a lot of profound change in Danny Wade and in myself and in my dear friends, clients, family members. It's incredible, the transformation of the Lord. And yet, in some ways, how small it is. How far we have to go. But the tricky and the really the wonderful thing about the process is that if we got it right all the time, why would we need God? Why would we need others? It's the avenue to God, because Augustine said, oh, happy sin, because it is the cause that my face lifts back to Him again and again, not in condemnation, for that is done because of the cross, but an affirmation to keep going, to keep abiding in that love that always forgives, always embraces, and never gives up. So I don't want to lose that intimacy, so I guess I'm going to be a mess. But let's be in it together. You know, Romans 8:7 says that we are hostile to God and that our flesh cannot submit to God. So I was going to say we're off the hook, but we're off the hook of whipping ourselves to perfection. But we have an avenue, because in that same chapter it says, cry Abba, Daddy, help me. I'm lost. I'm going to come out of the bushes, take the fig leaves off. I'm going to confess what I did or what I need or what I want, and I'm going to come to you. Good, bad, and ugly. Because I can't fix it, but He cares, and He is all about it. He's all about it. We don't have to hide from Him in the bushes. We don't have to hide from ourselves. It is a scary ride to kind of examine these emotions. But as I talk to my fakey voice, one of the major things I realized is I didn't want my kids as much to mind as I wanted to be different. And to be different, I've got to address some of these things. So take a risk. You know, close your eyes in the, you know, grocery store line, whatever. Feel that anger burn at the people like me that have checks. But just get into where you are, because Jesus wants to take you closer and closer to Him and to each other. So we cannot thank you enough for letting us be here today. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Well, I believe that we probably could have sat here and listened as you guys talk with each other and talk with us for a long time. Waters run deep here with the Wades, so thank you very much, guys, for the blessings. Danny has provided some sheets of paper with some resources, both reading and listening resources, that'll be helpful to you in your journey, emotional journey and journey with Jesus. So please feel free to come up afterwards and pick up one of those. And there's time to visit with Danny and Diana between services now if you want to, but I'd like to just close us up with prayer now. Father, thank you so much for what we've heard from our brother and sister, our friends. This journey of exploring and owning and growing in our emotional life is a challenge you put before us. It's a vision for something better than what we now want. And is listening to the question they were asking earlier, how badly do you want emotional health, just reminds me of Jesus' question to the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to get well? And yeah, Lord, our hearts cry to be made well, body, soul, and spirit, and we just affirm that without you, we cannot. So we affirm our trust in you, the great healer, the one who will establish and strengthen us and make us whole. And we thank you for this time where we've been able to think together and explore and grow. Grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for joining us online. Please feel free to grab one of the sheets of paper. Visit with the Wades. Hope to see many of you tonight, 5 o'clock.